Now let's continue on. For the audio, this is part B of The Beast and the False Prophet. That's what we will entitle it here. Now let's continue on with Daniel, the 7th chapter. Let's pick it up here in verse 19. Then I desired to know the truth concerning the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, who devoured broken pieces and stamped the rest with his feet. Now, what we want to do is we will see when we come back to Revelation 13, a mention of all of these beasts combined together in one world system. Then verse 20, and also of the 10 horns that were on his head, and of the other horn which came up, before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth speaking boastful things, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. And I watched, and that same horn made war with the saints and overcame them. Now let's understand something that's important here. The Catholic Church used the civil government to go after the saints of God all the way down through history. And it was one of the popes who told, I think it was Louis the 16th or 17th, that if he would destroy the Huguenots in France, that he would be absolved of all his sins. So we have a combination. The religious leader gives the permission and promise, and the civil leader does the active chasing and killing and martyrdom. But also, what they do is this. They have a combined court where then they are arrested because the laws, the civil laws being canon law, that you can only do what the Catholic Church says, but the civil government has to arrest them and then bring them before the council. And so that's how the system works. And then it says here, and that happened until, verse 22, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth. Now listen carefully to the rest of these words. Which shall be different from all other kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth. Now it talks about the whole earth. When we get back to the book of Revelation, it means the whole earth. It means the whole world. So we're talking about a worldwide system. This is the one that was also talked of in Daniel, the 2nd chapter, that is a mixture of iron and clay, partly strong, partly weak. And shall trample it and break it in pieces. Okay. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be different from the first and shall subdue 3 kings. Now this little horn is the beast power, not the Pope. That's where the Seventh-day Adventists have it wrong. And we already covered the rest of it. Now, let's come to Revelation 13. And let's see the fulfillment of this as we look at the end time and see how this is going to come about. Now, in Copenhagen, they were all ready to announce a world government. But too many things were not lined up, so they couldn't do it. But it's going to come. Now let's examine Revelation 13. And let's see how these prophecies come together. And let's emphasize the different words which tells us what's going to happen. All right. Verse 1. And I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, just like the one in Daniel 7. And on his horns, 10 crowns, meaning rulership. And upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. Now, what is the name of blasphemy? Name of blasphemy, that this is ordained of God when it comes from Satan. Now, let's notice what this beast looked like, and you will see it combines all four of the beast of Daniel 7. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and his great authority. So this is a satanic system. Now let's see what happens here. Let's get a little identification from the other scriptures. The dragon. Come over here to chapter 12. Chapter 12. And let's pick it up here in verse 9. This tells us who the dragon is. And the great dragon was cast out, the ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan. Now that's as clear as it can be, isn't it? Yes. Who is deceiving the whole world. That's what's happening right now. And I think Rush Limbaugh coined the phrase that this current administration lives in the universe of lies. Very good description of it. That's exactly what's happening to the whole world. And what it means in the Greek, this is properly translated, who is deceiving, that means actively, present tense, ongoing. And now we have politicians who lie, even though you can bring out it contradicts what they said before. Doesn't make any difference. They are in the grips of lies. Now, that's how this whole world system is going to come about. It's going to be through deceit. It's going to be through fraud. It's going to be to bring control over all people. Who is deceiving the whole world? He was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast down with him. Now, this is just right before the end. Then when we come to chapter 13, we find how the system was developed. Now again, notice how this ties in verse 10, chapter 12, with Daniel, the 7th chapter, talking about the saints having the kingdom. All right, let's read it. And I heard a great voice in heaven say, now has come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ, because the accuser of our brethren has been cast down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And that's why we have troubles and difficulties and tribulations in the world, because Satan is the one who's running the world, you see. That's why we need to stay close to God with a personal relationship with God. That's why we are going to be projecting now, restoring original Christianity for today, so that there can be a separation between the people of God and the world. So he's there accusing us day and night before God. But remember, we have the mercy of God, the grace of God, the love of God, the forgiveness of God, and the Holy Spirit within us, and Christ is for us and loves us, and God the Father has called us and has given us an inheritance. And so we will be the ones who will rule. Okay? Let's go on with this now. Verse 11. But they overcame him through the blood of the Lamb and through the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. So this is going to be a pitched battle. That's why we've got to fight for the faith, and we've got to be in the battleground for truth. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and those who dwell in them. Woe to those who inhabit the earth and the sea. This is just before the beginning of the tribulation. For the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has only a short time. Now, we'll see approximately how long a short time is. And when the dragon saw that he was cast down to the earth, he persecuted the woman, that is the church, who brought forth the man-child, that is Christ. And two wings of a great eagle were given to the woman, and we will see not all of those who are of the church are going to go be protected, which is commonly called a place of safety. Okay? So that she might fly to her place in the wilderness where she is nourished for a time, times and half a time. Now, how long is a time, times and half a time? 3.5 years. So, we have however long the time of persecution is that Satan brings against the church and the people of God, until those who go to a place of safety are taken. Be there for 3.5 years. So you have 3.5 years plus the time of persecution. And what will that time of persecution be? Now we'll see it. It's tied in with the mark of the beast. And the serpent cast water out of his mouth as a river, so that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the river that the dragon had cast out of his mouth. Then the dragon was furious with the woman and went to make war with the rest of her seed. See, so not everyone goes to a place of safety. And God is the one who's going to make the decision. If you think you're safe in a church of God, and that church is going to a place of safety and all the rest are not going, then you don't know God. God is the one who's going to make the decision. Don't count on what a man may tell you. The only way anyone's going to get to a place of safety is one day an angel's going to come and say, we're going. So those who are left behind, that's why it says back in Daniel, the 7th chapter, and they loved not their lives unto death. See? Because there's going to be war. There's going to be martyrdom. Now notice how it identifies them. And this is what the world hates. Who keep the commandments of God. Now let that sink in very deeply. Now if you're a Protestant and you think you don't have any commandments to keep, you're deluded and are in the spirit of Antichrist. Who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. What is the testimony of Jesus Christ? Those are the words of eternal life and the covenant that we find in Revelation, not Revelation, but John 14, 15, 16, and 17. That's the testimony of Jesus Christ. Let's come over here to chapter 14 for a minute, and then we'll come back to chapter 13. Verse 12, Revelation 14. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are the ones who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Very interesting. Have you ever heard it said, keep the faith? Yes, so they tie together. Tremendous scripture to understand that commandment keeping and faith go hand in hand. It's not commandment keeping or faith. It's faith to keep the commandments. See, it takes no faith to not keep the commandments. You just ignore it, right? And you go your way. But if you see the commandments of God and say, oh, yes, that's right, it takes faith to believe it and to keep it. That's why I just put in your notes there, Hebrews 11, wherever it says, by faith, Abel, Noah, Abraham, all the way down the line did what? Obeyed. Okay? So this shows the struggle that we're going to be facing in the future, and we will see how it's defined here in Revelation 13. Now let's come back to Revelation 13. Let's pick it up here in verse 3. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, slain to death. But his deadly wound was healed. So this is likened to a counterfeit resurrection. And the whole earth was amazed and followed the beast. Now, emphasize the words, the whole earth was amazed and followed the beast. That's why this end time system is worldwide. That's why we are seeing everything pointing in that direction. And I'll bring a special sermon on how the religions of this world are coming together. Did you know that there is already what is called world scriptures? Already in printed form? I've had to copy for 10 years. They take a little bit from the Bible. They take it some from the Quran. They take some from the Buddhist writings, the Hindu writings, and different ones, and they put it all together. And they take all of these wisdom things and say, these are world scriptures. Okay, the whole earth is amazed. So we have that in government, and we have that in religion. Now notice, just like today, Christmas is coming very soon as we're studying through this. People think they're worshiping Christ. People think that they're celebrating his birthday. Never stop and think, was he really born then? Never stop and think, well, if Christmas is so good, why do we have to lie about it? As I mentioned earlier, the Christmas tree is symbolic of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So everywhere you see that, people are acknowledging, yes, they don't realize it, but they're acknowledging it. Yes, we live by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is what? Satan behind it, right? Yes. And they worship the dragon. A lot of people worship Satan and don't know it. That's called the spirit of Antichrist. They may even use parts of the Bible and quote what they're doing because Satan is the great counterfeiter. And they worship the beast, who we'll see in just a minute, will be called God manifest in the flesh. The false Christ, the Antichrist, saying, who is like the beast? Who has the power to make war against him? Now that's all powerful, isn't it? That means he controls everything militarily. And this is why it can't be Obama, because everybody's speaking against Obama, so you know. Some people say, oh, Obama's the beast. No, he's beast-like, but he's not the beast. All right. And a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies were given to him, and authority was given to him to continue for 42 months. That is, after the deadly wound was healed. And 42 months is 3.5 years. And in Daniel, the 9th chapter, the prince of the 70th week, the last week, is the beast, not Christ. Now here's what he does. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and those who dwell in heaven. That is all the angels. Now notice, verse 7. And he was given power to make war against the saints. Remember what we talked about back there in Daniel, the 7th chapter? He made war against the saints and wore them out? Yes. And to overcome them. And he was given authority over every tribe and language and nation. Now hold your place here and let's come to 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter. Okay? And let's see how Paul wrote of it. Let's see how he described it. Because this has to happen. This has to happen before the end will come. 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter. And we're going to be inundated with a lot of people saying, oh, Christ is ready to return right now. That's page 1204. Now let's pick it up here, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 1. Now I know we've covered this in the past, but I think it's good that we go back and really understand what Paul was writing about and how powerful this is going to be. Because people are going to be thinking that they are worshiping the manifestation of God in the flesh. Now, this is how the kings and the emperors were always presented in the satanic systems. So let's pick it up here in verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that you not be quickly shaken in mind, nor be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by epistle, as if from us. So there were false epistles going around saying they were from Paul. That's why Paul had to canonize his epistles, and why John, after Peter, canonized the New Testament, because there were people writing to try and destroy it, saying that the day of Christ is present. That's an interesting way of phrasing it. How many have heard of Lord Maitreya? Some of you have. Lord Maitreya is supposed to be the presence of Christ. And what do they say in New Age religion? When you experience the New Age religion, you have the presence of Christ in you, which then is demonism. All right, verse 3. Do not let anyone deceive you by any means. That's why you've got to know the scriptures. You have got to know the truth. How many people, not only in the world, but even those who know the truth, have been deceived and led astray by foolish and false teachings and doctrines? Many. Because that day will not come unless the apostasy shall come first. Now, what is the apostasy? The apostasy is the worldwide rebellion against God. And even within some of the churches of God and all the so-called worldly Christianity. And the man of sin, so the beast is not only a system and a world government, it then is centralized in one man who is called, and the man of sin shall be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is an object of worship, so that he comes into the temple of God and sits down as God, proclaiming that he himself is God. Now, when Paul wrote this, the temple was still standing, because this was in 52 AD. That's why there will be a third temple built. That's why Revelation 11 tells us about the temple being built. And if you want to go online, go on to the Temple Institute and look up all the preparations that they have already done for the building of the temple. Now, when it's time, they will build it. And that is the temple that the beast will go into and say, I am God. Now, have we ever had a man declare himself to be God? Not in our lifetime. So, he comes down here and he says, let's continue on, verse 5. Do you not remember when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you understand what is holding him back in order for him to be revealed in his own set time. Who is holding it back? God is. Until the rebellion come to the full. See? And he will be revealed by his actions and by what he proclaims himself to be. And the whole world is going to wonder after the beast. They're going to worship the beast. And behind that, they are really worshiping Satan the devil, who wants to be what? God. So the closest that Satan is going to get to taking over the throne of God is by possessing the beast, and he walks into the temple that the Jews are going to build and say he is God. That's the closest he will come. Now notice what Paul writes to describe this. For the mystery of lawlessness is already working. It started in his day. And that's how Christ describes the end time. Lawlessness shall be multiplied. That's what we see going on in the world. Only there is one who is restraining at the present time until it arises out of the midst. So that's why we can't be led away or carried away by any thoughts or any proclamations that this is the beast or that is the beast or that the end is here right now. God will make it plenty evident for those who know, for those who love God and keep his commandments and have the testimony of Jesus Christ and the faith of Christ, as we covered. They will know. The world won't. Now notice. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and will destroy with the brightness of his coming. Shows the end time. That describes Revelation 19, what's going to happen to the beast and the false prophet. Even the one whose coming is according to the inner working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. There are going to be amazing things that are going to happen. And people, if they see it, they'll believe it, right? And people want miracles, don't they? Because miracles convince them that they are right, doesn't it? That's why people are fascinated with magicians. And we'll see there will be miracles that are coming. Verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in those who are perishing. So this is going to be so powerful, so irresistible. If we could put it on a scale of 1 to 10, and if we could put Hitler with his persuasiveness of the German people before the Second World War, you see. And one thing Hitler did not do, he did not exalt himself like this beast. But what he did, he appealed to the German people and the German nation and got all the people to follow him. And then he started to proclaim his greatness. So we may see a repeat of that. But notice, in those who are perishing, and here's the reason. Note this carefully. because they did not receive the love of the truth, so that they might be saved. What is the truth? The Word of God is true. Commandments of God are true. His law is true. All of His precepts are true from the beginning. All right? Now notice how this is going to be completely brought about. And for this cause, God will send upon them a powerful deception that will cause them to believe the lie. That's why all the world's going to worship Him. See, because if you don't love God and keep His commandments, He's going to give you over to your own devices. He's going to give you over to the things of the world. Verse 12. So that all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but who took pleasure in unrighteousness. That's why it's called the mystery of lawlessness. Now let's come back to Revelation 13. You see how all three of these, Daniel 7, Revelation 13, and 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, tie together. All right? Now notice, verse 8, and all who dwell on the earth will worship Him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. See, only those who have the Spirit of God and whose names are written in the book of life will not give themselves over to the system. And what's going to happen is everyone is going to say, what a wonderful thing. All the nations of the world are together. Oh, we're all working together. We have been striving for this for hundreds of years, and now it's finally come together, and what a wonderful thing that it is. And look at those enemies of the state. That'll be us. That'll be whoever will not take the mark of the beast. Let's go on. So here's a warning, verse 9. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone gathers into captivity, he shall go into captivity. If anyone kills with the sword, he must be killed with the sword. Here is the endurance and the faith of the saints, that they don't do those things. And remember what Jesus said. The worst that they can do to you is kill your body, but not take your life, because that's in God's hands. Now here's the rest of the story, the other half. And I saw another beast rising out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, but spoke like a dragon. Now since a horn symbolizes a king or ruler, I've thought about those two horns quite a few times. And so we can give just a little thought to this, not make a dogmatic proclamation. I didn't have my cowbell out to ring it. So there are only two religious offices in the world where the leaders are called His Holiness. One is the Pope, and the other is the Dalai Lama. Could it be that it symbolizes those two working together to bring the religions of the world together and manifested in the worship of the beast? Just a thought. All right? But spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast before him. That means worldwide authority. And he causes the earth and those that dwell therein to worship the first beast, sanctifying him as God in the flesh, whose deadly wound was healed. And he performs great wonders. Remember what Jesus said? Many false prophets and false Christs shall arise, perform great signs and wonders to deceive the elect, if possible. Notice what he does. so that he even causes fire to come down to the earth from heaven in the sight of men. Now that'll be spectacular, won't it? Yes. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by the means of the wonders that were given him to perform in the sight of the beast, saying to those who dwell on the earth that they should make an image for the beast, which had the wound by the sword, yet was alive. You can have your own little personal idol. Can you imagine how they'll do that? I mean, they'll have it on T-shirts, they'll have it on little bobbleheads on the cars, and they'll have it at home, you know, and they'll put it in front of their television, you know, and bow down to that, and probably even worship the beast when he comes on television. Everybody bow down, you know, and all this sort of thing. You could just, you know, with what we know today, we can expand this way out into a great deal, which is going to come. Now notice, verse 15, and he was given power to give life to the image of the beast. Now this is not going to be trickery, because we have too many things to detect technologically, whether it is true or whether it is a fake, right? So this is Satan himself doing it, so that the image of the beast also could speak, and that he causes everyone who will not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Now that's the first step to receiving the mark of the beast. You don't receive the mark of the beast unless you pledge your allegiance to the beast by worshiping him and bowing down to his idol. Sound a little like Daniel, the third chapter? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had that big idol they were told to worship. It, and they refused it. Okay. Now notice what else happens. Now the he here refers to the beast that is worshipped. And he causes all. That means everyone. The small and the great, the rich and the poor, the free and the bond, to receive a mark in their right hands or in their foreheads. Well, that's going to be something. Now, verse 17 qualifies it, so that no one, it says no one, may have the ability to buy and sell unless he has the mark, or the number of the beast, or the number of his name. Now, let's think about these things for just a minute. Remember years ago when I gave the sermon, the mark of the beast is here, the mark of the beast is here, when Digital Angel first came out? Well, now they're working on perfecting it. And there will be a mark in the right hand or in the forehead. That only with that can you buy or sell. I want you to think about that. What if today they canceled all your credit cards, took all your money? You could not buy or sell, could you? And what do we survive on? Every one of us survive on buying and selling, don't we? You know, just look at your cupboard at home. How much food do you have? Well, it's to last until the next time you go to the store, right? So if you can't buy, you can't replace. This has nothing to do with Sunday worship. Now, we mentioned about Sunday worship in Germany, so let me just clarify a little bit here. Seventh-day Adventists believe this to mean the mark of the beast is Sunday worship, and you're not able to buy anything on Sunday. Well, you have the other days of the week, do you not? Can't be Sunday worship. What if everything was closed and all the stores were closed and you didn't go to any church but stayed home? How could you say that was the mark of the beast? With technology we have today, it's going to be literal chip, and what it's going to be, not only buying and selling, but it's going to be for complete, total control over everyone in the world. And if you don't think that can't be enforced, even today they're working on it, I suggest you do a little searching out of Google. Because there's one of those on CNBC and checking out Google. When she got done going through everything that they showed about her, she said, "You know everything about me. And I mean everything. All of her credit cards, all of her bank accounts, her driver's license number, everything. They know where you live. You don't believe that? Do a Google search on your own home, and they'll take a picture of where you live." So it's coming. That's what the mark of the beast is going to be. So when the system comes in, we need to have the wisdom here, verse 18. We'll finish this. "Here is wisdom. Let the one who has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is a man's number, and his number is 666. And each six symbolizes the perfection of man. Perfection of man as a person, economically, and religiously. 666. So we need to ask for wisdom when these things come down. Those are the two paramount important things that we need to look out and watch for. The others are also important. But I didn't want to take the time to go through all 14 points. I'll just put that sermon on the CD that has this. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org. Org.